Do I feel embarrassed that I haven't done anything? Sometimes I do, because I set myself up as someone who consults on other things. But yeah, don't do what I do, do what I say. Oh my goodness.
Over the last few weeks, in addition to stories about Dubai's entrepreneurs, we've also been getting behind some of the characteristics that helped shape their journeys. Today's guest exhumes all the characteristics we've come to expect from an entrepreneur, having built her brand from the ground up into an award-winning food blog with a tremendous and loyal following. So pull up a chair and join the conversation with Sally Prosser, founder of My Custard Pie, who told us the tale of how credibility is key to growing your brand in a social media world where trendy trumps timeless. I'm Chirag, and you're listening to Tales of the Trade from Amaya FM. First up, a confession. I used to be a food blogger. And I say that not because some kind of long-standing guilt has come over me, but because that is how I first met Sally. She was one of the founding members of a food blogger collective in Dubai, and thus began a long-standing admiration of her work, as she continues to put out great content and help brands tell their stories today. Sally first dabbled with blogging many years ago, back in the days of dial-up modems and getting charged by the minute to connect to the World Wide Web. Now, if you're unfamiliar with some of the terms in this segment, I'm jealous of you, young millennial. But also, I would recommend checking out episode 9 of Tech Tree, one of the other shows we have here on Amaya FM, where we talk about retro tech that shaped the 90s. But anyway, as I was saying, My Custard Pie's early roots go way back to those days when GeoCities was a thing.
Yeah, I've always been a little bit geeky, and I guess wanted to communicate as well. I mean, not as geeky as you, Chirag, probably. I was working for a marketing communications department in England, in Bristol. And I can remember someone from, I don't know, IT department, what do you think of this internet thing then, you know? And it was expensive to have your internet provider then. But we did set up a little website for students at the time, you know, and it was so basic. But I think it was about one page. I moved to Saudi Arabia in end of 95. It became a lifeline, even though it was dial-up and it was very, very slow. But yeah, I came to Dubai, had my first green Apple Mac, you know. So I did set up a Yahoo GeoCities family website. And I even put a GIF on there with an egg breaking, which I thought was really, you know, I learned HTML and it had a few recipes on it, etc. So very, very basic, but obviously I'm quite enjoying that. You know, uploading images was a nightmare and things like that. And then I worked for a nonprofit for 5 years. I helped set one up. It was the early days of social media as well. And I set up a blog for that as well. So I saw the opportunity for a nonprofit and it was really good. And I signed up for a Golf for Good challenge to hike the Lebanon Mountain Trail. Now, for fundraising, people did different things, you know, had a stall in Safa Park, but that really wasn't my route. I was like, okay, I need to target some sponsors and I need somewhere to put their logo. So I thought, oh, a blog. So I set up my first WordPress blog for me personally and sort of got on social as me. I was Sally Two Hats on Twitter in those days. And I sort of stepped out from the shadows, which is probably the other way around from people. And absolutely loved blogging. Just dived into it, really enjoyed it. So I was looking at all the preview stuff, how I got fit, how I raised funds. Then I was thinking, oh, what other blogs are out there? And found food blogs and thought, yes, this is it. So on a whim, set up a food blog with no direction and a silly name.
Now, a silly name might seem really normal today, viral even. But back in 2010, people used their own names to write, or conceived of formal sounding brands to encapsulate the work they did. So where did this name originate?
I wanted custard pie as a sort of allegory for life. You know, it can be delicious some of the time, and then sometimes you can get one in the face. And I do like custard. Obviously, this is lost. You know, I really should not have this name, but I'm stuck with it. You know, it's crazy because I haven't got a sweet tooth. I rarely post things about desserts on my blog. And if anyone comes to it and expects lots of custard, they'll be very disappointed.
Around this time, the food blogging community in Dubai, well, it wasn't really a community. A few independent bloggers with a passion for food wrote almost in isolation. One of those bloggers was Arwa Ahmed, writing under I Live in a Frying Pan, a food blog that not only developed a niche for itself, but also led Arwa to become the founder of Frying Pan Adventures, Dubai's first food tour company. More on that story another time. So in 2010, armed with her food blog, Arwa started searching for other bloggers like herself. And that led to a friendship that heralded a takeoff point for the food blogging scene in Dubai, thanks to Sally and Arwa banding together to nurture a community.
I remember a couple of months into the process, it got really lonely just writing these blog posts and letting them float out there. So I started looking around, and at the time, the market wasn't as flooded with food bloggers as it is now. And I came across this lady who seemed to have a pretty considerable following, but more important than that, she had a really credible voice. And I started reading this and I'm like, this is someone who is clearly taking her food blogging super seriously. I want to get to know who this woman is. And so I left this creepy comment on her blog thinking that nobody reaches back out to someone who's looking for a food blogger friend in the internets. And weirdly enough, Sally actually responded. And I think things were just different back then because, again, there were fewer of us. The people who were in it were just like super wildly passionate about it, didn't care so much about stats and followers and all of these things. We, you know, hit it off. We met other food bloggers and then we formed this group, which eventually became known as Foodarati Arabia. And we stuck with this for a couple of years. We were really the moderators of the group, trying to curate people's, like, we were trying to curate different events and get food bloggers together, try to set certain standards. And then I think over time, it exploded so much that we sort of just like went away and started to do our own stuff.
And so, yeah, we were a little community. I think the first event we went to, there were about five of us. And we used to go out and we were very enthusiastic and it was early days. And I really value all the contacts I've made as friends, all ages, all backgrounds. But one thing in common, we just loved food and talking about food and learning about food.
So it's interesting as well that like you actually started the business route, I mean, as a blog, though, granted, maybe not as My Custard Pie, but like your experience with writing online, yeah, or doing things online all the way back, yeah, actually was a business-oriented approach. And then now we're here in 2018 and you don't want that at all.
It's not that I don't want it. I do content creation and digital strategy for other people's accounts. Yeah. So I am looking after their businesses. So I see the potential in a business route. But yes, you're right. I do not monetize My Custard Pie at all. It's loads of work and it's not that I'm anti that, but I haven't seen a way of really monetizing and making it into a business without completely ditching my core principles. So, for instance, I find it very difficult to find sponsors because in food, they usually process food manufacturers, and I can't. I mean, I'm not interested. I could only promote and stand for things that I really, truly believe in because that would be not true to myself and it would just completely undermine any credibility with my community. So I haven't really found any partners that I could really work with. Perhaps on travel, but it has been more collaborations, you know, for trips, etc. Yeah, which is great. But if people think it's a free holiday, it certainly isn't. You absolutely pay in content creation and you can come back absolutely exhausted. And then you have to write more posts. You know, you're creating content sharing all the time. So it's fantastic. And I have, visited some amazing places. But yeah, again, that's not value. You know, it's not lining my pockets or giving me. But, you know, I do feel that's something that people say, you know, oh, bloggers getting all this stuff. Sometimes it's not as rosy as it seems.
The temptation is high, right? I mean, for an average person that has put in the work, has done all of this, has developed the following, has brands contacting you very often, right? The opportunity, rather, is right there to say like, yeah, okay, fine. I will start a revenue stream and then make this into, like, close out the final checkbox, which says this is now a business. And yet you've resisted that. I mean, for me, that part's fascinating.
although I had a marketing communications background, I didn't set out to go and do content creation or, you know, social media strategy, etc., for other people. They came to me, sadly, not for this vast experience, which obviously does, you know, play a role. But, oh, you've got that many Instagram followers, come and do ours. So it did open a door. My own blogging and social, etc., it hones my skills. I mean, every single day I read something, I listen to podcasts, etc. Because, again, I'm still a bit of a nerd and I love knowing, I'm very, very up to date with everything. And that helps my clients. So again, that bit is a passion still. And I am marketing those skills, but not in relation to my blog. And I still like the freedom of my blog. I know about, you know, creating your niche, et cetera, but life changes. And so I just, you know, I have put stuff out there. If I was a business, I wouldn't. You know, but I just have a crazy idea for a blog post and go, oh yeah, I'm going to write this. You know, it's still like that because it takes a long time unless you have that impetus. So either you're earning money or you're absolutely driven to it. But I still do get crazy ideas and just follow them. Like 30 days of date recipes in May, just before I was going to go off to England. I really shouldn't have been doing this. And we have a, you know, freezer full of date bread, and there were dates everywhere, and a hot cross bun passion again, a freezer still full of hot cross buns, and my family going, why are you doing this? And I actually don't know sometimes.
But there's that freedom, right? Not only do you not have a brand potentially dictating, you know, how you write something or what you write, like, you've kind of maintained a very clear separation.
I find this extraordinary because perhaps it's changing in the US and the UK, but here brands do not know how to work with influencers. I mean, some might, but where I see that brands are really missing out, they dictate things which are absolutely counterintuitive. And I am afraid, but I do say, you know, why would I do this? It will be better for you if I did this. You know, why are you coming to me if you're telling me to do this? It's like an ad. It looks forced. You know, you're coming to me because I know how to talk to my audience. But you still get long lists of, oh, we want you to do this, this and this. And it's just, I don't think they get out of it what they could do. You know, you look on Instagram, for instance, and I don't know about you, but there's very, well, I just scroll past the Instagram ads because they're like ads. They stand out from that platform like a sore thumb because it's not the type of content that you want to consume. I mean, I think there's one or two that started, I think, oh, that's interesting. But most of them are like they're like a TV ad. And you just think, you know, no way. You just go scroll as quickly as possible. And that's the same thing as dictating to influencers some of the things that brands want.
Influencers are quite a hot button subject these days. The birth of influencer culture across social media in general, but specifically among food bloggers, has led to a decrease in real meaningful content over very similar sounding reviews and photos of restaurants and culinary events.
I really would like there to be harder disclosure laws here. I think because we're in this sphere, we know. But I think we underestimate how much that just people who just use Instagram and see content, they're not aware that people are getting free meals. And they just see these recommendations. Oh, this was yummy. This was delicious. Everything is delicious and fantastic. And they're not aware. And in the UK, you would have to put, you either put hashtag ad right at the beginning. So, you know, you don't even scroll down and say, oh, if you've read it, or sponsored content right at the beginning, and even on tweets now. And I think that's a good thing. You know, you've got to be clear. I feel quite strongly about this, as you can see. And I've always disclosed. I just think it's wrong. Now, conversely, I think, obviously, traditional print media, the press, they also aren't very honest sometimes. You know, they don't disclose as much as they could. Influencers are really slagged off by some members of the press, and that's where a lot of the criticism has come, I guess, because they feel a little bit threatened as well, maybe. Sorry, don't hate me. I'm just assuming there, but I think there are muddy waters across it all. But I think it's this, because there's this huge groundswell of digital influencers that's under the spotlight. The real divide came when people started to realise that they could get something from doing it. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing, it just is. But there was a turning point, and I don't know, maybe it was around 2013, 2014. Suddenly people thought, oh, if I do this, I can get this. So their motivation was very, very different to the first people who just hopped on because they loved doing it. As I say, I'm making no distinction about whether I'm judging this because I just think it's the way it is. But that was very different. I think that's why there's this backlash. It is different. And so there are so many people for brands to work with. And it probably is a bit of a minefield. I've been on both sides of the fence and I absolutely am not averse to working with brands. Going back, we didn't get any invites. You know, it wasn't a thing. And then we got, I think the first one could have been Freedom Pizza. And they invited all the bloggers and we're like, oh, someone's invited us to something. So we all turned up and there were about 20 of us. And we went down and we were really earnest. I can remember it being very fair. I wrote up about it, but I said the good and the bad things, like, you know, and fair play to them. They shared all our posts as well. So good and bad. So that started to open the floodgates. And a lot of it sounds really, really nice. You know, it's lovely to be invited to things. And they do sound brilliant. And I have done some great things. But I probably, then when you go to write it, you think, oh, this is, what do I write about? It's a bit boring to say I went out and had a really nice meal. And sometimes not all the content is that interesting. It's the event and you've enjoyed it. So I do look back and I think, I shouldn't have accepted some of those things.
Sally is one of the few people who represents my idea of the responsible influencer, one who understands their position and uses rather than abuses it. Because working with brands can be a tricky thing to maneuver without compromising your voice in some way. And rather than sacrifice my custard pie's independence to a brand, Sally instead works with brands to share her expertise in helping them build their own voice. She's extremely selective of the brands she works with, focusing on their core values and only aligning with those brands that resonate with her personally, and who in turn value her voice and knowledge. Take local organic honey brand Balkis, for example. We caught up with their founder, Riyadh Hamid, who's been working with Sally for nearly 6 years.
Once she understood what we were all about, that we work with local communities, it's a cottage industry, that with these families are dependent on what we do in terms of sales and everything else. It needs that kind of story and it needs that kind of creative, rounded storytelling, if you like. Sally really does have, she has an instrumental part of everything we do. I mean, all our social media strategies, everything that's related to how Bilqis is portrayed to the outside world, really, she's really been amazing in communicating all of that. She takes on the values of what she does for herself and she really kind of encapsulates that as a sort of passion, and she's authentic when she's dealing with you because she wants to deal it the same way. So whatever she would do for herself, she really extends that with your brand. And 9 times out of 10, she's really right, you know. If she really doesn't like something, then I honestly don't do it. We really do value her. We really do value Sally.
In addition to her own voice as a writer, Sally has indeed developed such respect and credibility among her peers and followers. So what comes next?
I do feel I've got to 8.5 years and something needs to change because it is, and it's harder and harder work. It's more time consuming than it ever was.
When we come back, Sally reflects on living the dream life, what comes next for My Custard Pie, and a little bit about Instagram husbands.
Worried about the clutter in your physical space around you, your digital life, and even staying organized in your mind? I'm Shalina Jakia, and each week we bring you a short and sweet episode on how to organize and declutter all aspects of your life. Just look for Declutter Me in your favorite podcast player or visit declutterme.com/podcast. Brought to you by Amaya FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Tales of the Trade and the story behind My Custard Pie. This episode was produced by Gaia, and original music for the show was composed by Reiner Erlings. In addition to being a consummate blogger, writer, brand consultant, Sally is also a dedicated mom of two and a wife. Now, this is in slight contrast to newly minted content creators, many of whom start really early in their lives and have a sense of urgency to monetize. And yet, Sally's taken a different approach. Does she feel the pressure to go from brand to money-minting business, though? Pressure, perhaps, to warrant her place in the blogger community?
Do I feel embarrassed that I haven't done anything? Sometimes I do, because I set myself up as someone who consults on other things. But yeah, don't do what I do, do what I say. Oh my goodness. It's a time-consuming hobby, and that it does expand my knowledge. I've made amazing friends around the world, and so it enriches my life. Yeah, I went to a conference in June called Blogtacular, and although it's bloggers mainly for creative businesses, again, part of my justification for going was not only to inspire my own blog again, I love to keep up to date and current, and that new wave of community, I love meeting people through that. It is to enrich the services that I'm giving to my clients. But I do feel that sometimes I might be judged. You know, people think, oh. I have had one person I worked for a long time ago said, oh, only young people can do social media, which I was like, oh. And they were about the same age as me, which I just thought, okay. But I do feel it's quite, maybe this is a judgment I'm putting on myself, but I feel I need to really prove that I am just as current, and yeah, and for my own personal standards, professional standards.
Do you feel like you're living, like you're almost living a dream, like you're doing everything that you're passionate about? I mean, you know, from the outside, who might think like, wow, that's a great setup. You have the credibility, the great following, you can write about what you want. You're not, I don't say you're not under pressure, I mean, you're thinking about it all the time, but you have the ability to say, no, I'll wait until I figure out how I'm going to monetize it and deal with that.
Now, you've made me think here very big time, because living the dream with me that I blogged full time, but I can't while I don't monetize. So there you go. That's my conundrum. Like everyone, I have strains and stresses in my life. But yeah, the blogging side, it's my little piece of hardworking tranquility. I don't know. I still love doing it. Cooking in my kitchen, going out and finding people who make food, really digging down into environmental things and sustainability.
Now, it's not really that difficult to spot a blogger at a restaurant or cafe. You'll often find them standing on chairs for that perfect angle, or walking around the space, plate in one hand, camera in another, hunting for that right light. And when you're a blogger, it also means that your friends, your family, literally anyone who's eating with you, becomes a blogger too. So to have been doing this for 8 years, how have the people in her life handled it?
I mean, my whole family do roll their eyes when I'm off on one, you know, doing some particular project. And, you know, they know certain things. Oh, yeah, Mum, do you want to photograph this before I eat it if we're out? I don't do that very much because I think food should be eaten hot and we're there for the experience, unless I'm doing it for a client, obviously, which is very different. I'm not going to stand on a chair in a restaurant. But I might take my dish outside myself for a better light. And I will definitely sit by the window. I will check out a restaurant for how it photographs. But those are just little things. I mean, my girls are very supportive. And again, we've done some nice things together as well. So they see the benefits, but they see the background as well. So that's good. I don't have an Instagram husband, and there's no way he will film or take lovely shots or stand in the background, you know, doing these things. Well, he won't mind me saying this. He's not a good photographer either. So no, yeah, humouring me, supporting me, but getting actually involved, unless it's tasting things. No way. But I guess, you know, that's like everyone with blogging. Sometimes people get into a real niche about mummy blogging. I mean, and then their children grow up. What do they do? Or blogging about teens. So it's something you sometimes don't think about, how your life will change when you dive in. But it is something for people to think about.
How does someone like you deal with writer's block?
Time only. I have about 200 draft posts of things that I still am really interested in. I just need to have time to finish them off. Never have writer's block. It's just time. I have to write in the morning. I can't write at night. That's when I'm very slow and it's very hard. So, yeah, I have to just get up earlier and then, yeah, the words flow. Yeah. I mean, I do edit a lot. I'll go back and rewrite a lot. That's probably why it takes time. But, yeah, first thoughts. Love it. Again, it's something I love to do.
Tell me about a mistake you made.
Name. Not setting up an email list from the beginning. I mean, they just tend to be small ones. Yeah, you know, taking a shoot in a certain way. And you look back and think, oh, no, the light was so awful. Just in quality standard, you have to make mistakes to learn from them. And I look back and I was exhausted because I felt I had to write these things up. And some of my past blog posts of a certain era, a bit of a mishmash. And I don't think they're that interesting. So, yeah, I think my head was turned for a while. But I think I'm much more focused now. And I wouldn't do those now. I don't like those roundup posts.
This continuous introspection lies at the heart of building your true voice. It's easy to get deterred sometimes if you're someone who's toying with the idea of building your presence and thinking, well, enough people are doing this already. What value does another opinion of the same thing have?
The big thing about engaging with people is sharing enough about yourself. You know, that's why people are interested. It's very easy to compare sometimes. I think, oh, everyone's written about this particular location, but you haven't. And that's what people connect with. And they want you to share enough so that they see the behind the scenes. You know, I mean, it's not me saying this, it's everyone saying this, but it's how much you share. But it is part of the story that people relate to.
So it is about creating a niche for yourself, finding those things that intersect between what you enjoy sharing and what resonates with your audience. And in an age where blogging and writing are considered long formats, you have to explore the instant content platforms as well.
One thing I get a lot of feedback about is when I step out of my front door in the morning with Hazel.
Hazel is Sally's Border Terrier and trusted morning walk companion. And I can confirm from personal experience that she's just as lovely in real life as she comes across on Sally's Instagram stories.
I get lots and lots of direct messages about that, that just people like coming on that walk with me. And that's something I wouldn't have predicted. But, you know, I do like that. It's genuine, again, that I like that quiet. I like looking at the little details. That's why I take photos and share them. And that resonates. And people say, oh, yeah, we like seeing Hazel, or we love these photos from the morning. So, yeah, just you tap into things accidentally, but you have to try all those things, don't you? Otherwise, you don't see what resonates. You need that audience, even if it's of one, I guess. Otherwise, you're just into an echo chamber. I mean, that's why people write, isn't it? No, it is that seeking a different audience. And that's very different from the likes and the comments on social media, which is basically what the algorithm shows people. You know, that's very much, you have to just have that distinction. And that's hard sometimes. You know, it is easy to judge on those little ticks and taps and, you know, comments. But, you know, try and put that away in a box.
Understanding what resonates with your audience, staying genuine when you share, and being selective and careful about the partnerships you foster all play their part in creating your authentic voice. But the true measure of it all doesn't come just from saying it, but also from the trust you actually earn from the people around you, whether it's those you work with, your followers, or even your peers. And as we led up to our interview with Sally, I couldn't find one person who wouldn't use the word genuine or credible when talking about her. And that says a lot.
I love who she is as a person. The person she is on social media, the person she is on her blog is actually the person that you meet. And I think in this day and age, that is very rare. She is one of the most genuine people with a lot of integrity and a lot of ethics. And I respect her and I admire her for that.
We lose sight of it sometimes, but make no mistake, quality content creation is hard work. Sally showcases something every entrepreneur should have: the courage to not compromise, to maintain personal and professional credibility in an age of instant rewards, and watching people around you constantly give in to those temptations. It requires introspection and self-awareness, and owning your own truth. You've been listening to Tales of the Trade from Amaya FM. If you haven't already, you can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any podcast player, and even in streaming apps like Spotify and Angami. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you gave us a review wherever you like to listen. You can also leave us a comment on this episode's webpage. It's talesofthe.trade/mycustardpie. And you can also follow us on Instagram for more content. So many tales to be told, so many stories to be shared. Pull up a chair and join the conversation.